Good afternoon. Let me ask you to take a Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. There was a couple here this morning who after service came to me, and they were both laughing. They were just giddy. And many, many, many years ago, I had married them. And they were talking and just laughing. And he says, let me tell you why we're laughing, what happened. He says, we came here not knowing that you were here. He said, in fact, we just took for granted you would be gone. What they meant by that is that by now somebody would have killed me. And he said, you stood up, just what he said. And he said, about 10 minutes into your sermon, he said, I turned to my wife and said, that guy right there has been around David Fox. He said, my wife looked to me and said, honey, that is David Fox. So I don't know what that says about how I look or either about how he sees, but it was good to see them. And you know how people, oh, you remember me, and it's like, ooh, I don't have any idea who you are. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, your greatest resource in 2014. Your greatest resource in 2014. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes with his Father's glory with the holy angels. There are many things in life that you can do without. Time is not one of them. Time cannot be stopped. Time cannot be stored, nor can it be kept. And have you noticed how fast time moves in some places and how slow it moves in other places? When you're on vacation, it seems as if time is flying. But when you sit back in a dentist chair for a root canal, time slows down. How fast does time move when you're watching your favorite television show? And how slowly time moves when you sit at church and the preacher just goes on and on and on and on. But brethren, I want you to understand something. That regardless of who you are and where you are, time steadily marches forward and time stops for no one. And one of the most important things you will ever learn to do in your life is to learn to use your time wisely. Look in Mark chapter 8. The crowd gathers together and the disciples of Jesus are there, and Jesus addresses all of them. He says to them that if anyone is going to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, here is what's necessary to do that. Then Jesus makes this statement in verse number 36. Jesus said, for what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? I want you to understand in context what he's saying there. Jesus is saying that in your life, this is basically what your choice is. You can either take your time and you can use your time to gain things. You can take your time and you can use your time to focus upon what Satan wants you to do with your life. Or, Jesus says, you can take your time and you can use your time to make preparation to meet God. But that's your choice. That's your choice. The greatest resource we have in this new year is this. It's time. Your greatest resource is your time and how you are going to choose to use that time. Now, based on this, I want to make three observations with you this afternoon. Observation number one is this. Because our greatest resource is our time, we must first always remember that life is very short at best. Life is very short at best. Now, there are two passages I want us to look at, and I want you to take your Bible and follow with me. First, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47, and in verse number 9, Jacob, Joseph's father, is speaking to Pharaoh. Genesis 47, and look at verse 9. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Now listen to the next statement. My years have been few and difficult. Now, did you get that? Did you get that? I have been alive for 130 years, and the years of my life have been few and difficult. You mean 130 years? Is a few? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Methuselah is the oldest man recorded in the Bible. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. And brethren, I want you to understand that even 969 years in the whole scheme of eternity is but a few years. It's but a few years. Your greatest resource is your time. But what you need to understand is that life, at very best, it is a very short thing. It is a very short thing. Second passage, turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. There are 150 psalms that are recorded. Moses wrote one of them, Psalm 90. So this is one of the old psalms. I understand they're all old, but this is one of the old of the oldest psalms. Psalm 90, listen to how Moses describes life beginning with verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if you have strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. Listen to it. For they quickly pass and we fly away. We know, who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear is due you. Look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now I want you to look at that passage. In that passage, Moses says three things. Number one, Moses says that life is something that quickly passes and it flies away. That's in verse 10. Life is short at best. Life is something that quickly passes and flies away. Do you know how I've always, always been aware of how quickly life passes? The thing more than anything else in life that teaches me how quickly life passes is my children. My children. If you have a bad heart, you need to take a nitroglycerin and slip it under your tongue right now. I have a child who's now 33. You say, well, mine's older than that. I'm talking about me. I'm a kid. I have another who's 32, 31, 2. He's one of them. But do you hear what I said? Over the holiday, me and the oldest were out together, and there was a mother there who had a little boy, and I mean, he was all boy. He was everywhere. He was all over the place in this store. And so David and I are standing in this checkout line, and I mean, this kid is just, he's just all over. And the mother was kind of frustrated, and so I turned to the mother, and I said to her, Mother, listen to me. Listen to me. It's okay. Because I said, the day after tomorrow, he going to look like this. And I pointed to my 33-year-old. I said, day after tomorrow, he going to look like this. I'm telling you. And I tell every new mother and father, I say that to them. You know what? I don't care how it gets. Enjoy it, because in what will seem to you in a week, they're going to be grown. You know why? Because life quickly passes and it flies away. Flies away. It seemed like yesterday. My boys would come to me and say, with a book, Daddy, readie me. I asked one of them the other day. I said, they said, readie me. I'm telling you. What happened to it? Where's the time? Life quickly passes and it flies away. Notice the second thing that Moses says here about life. He says that it's, this also in verse 10, he says it's just trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. When Jacob described life to Pharaoh in Genesis 47:9, where we just was, he says, my life is but a few years and difficult. Difficult. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man is born of woman, his life is but a few years, and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Several years ago, me and a cousin of mine, who is a preacher, performed the eulogy for my uncle, my dad's brother and his dad's brother. And in his part of the eulogy, my cousin talked about Job 14:1, where Job said, man is born of woman, his life is but a few days, and it's full of sorrow. That's what he talked about. He dissected it. It's the termites. It's okay. They won't eat much. Listen, just stay right here. Look at me. He talked about that verse. He talked about that verse. About how short life is. And about how things just happen in life. Less than 4 months after he and I did that funeral, that cousin of mine contacted a very rare form of cancer and very quickly died from it. And the first thing I thought about was the funeral we went to and him talking about Job 14:1. Listen to me. Look, your greatest resource is your time. And if you understand that, you need to understand that life is short at best. It quickly flies away. It quickly passes. It's full of trouble. The third thing that Moses says down in verse 12, he says, based on the fact that it quickly passes, based on the fact it's full of trouble, he says in verse 12, use it wisely. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. You understand? Jesus said, here's your choice. You can choose to use your time for what the devil wants, or you can choose to use your time to make preparation with God. But I'm telling you, your greatest resource is your time, but your time is a very limited resource. Number two, your greatest resource is time. And because of that, secondly, you need to use it wisely. Use it wisely. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think about this for a moment. If you use your time wisely, if you use your time wisely, then you are using your life wisely. If you use your time foolishly, then you are using your life foolishly, because time is how we measure life. You understand? If you take your time and if you use it wisely, then you are using your life wisely. The way we measure our life is by our time. I had a Bible professor who gave his entire life to an understanding of that book. More so than any man I was ever around. Dr. Harold Hazlip, who many, many years ago was the president of the Harding Graduate School. Now I'm talking about the graduate school. Dr. Harold Hazlip told me that this Bible professor I had, he said he is one of the top 5 graduates to ever come out of the graduate school, and he said he might be the top graduate to ever come out of that graduate school. His entire life is that he wanted to understand what this book was about. He was teaching Christian evidences in his home congregation on Wednesday night. And there was a man, a visitor who came for three or four Wednesday nights and listened to him teach. And after three or four visits, this man comes up to him after class and he said, listen, he says, you really believe what you're saying, don't you? And he said, yes, sir, I believe what I'm saying. He says, no. He says, I mean, you really believe that that's true. And my professor looked at him. He said, listen. He said, I bet my life that that's true. Now, you say, what is your point? Here's my point. Whatever we think is valuable, whatever we think is precious, that's what we give our time to. He believed that an understanding of this book was more important than anything else. What did he give his time to? He gave his time to an understanding of the Word of God. Whatever you think is valuable is what's going to get your time. Now understand that whatever gets your time is getting your life. So if you take the time that God has given you, and if you use that time foolishly, listen to me, if you use that time foolishly, that's a sin. That's a sin. Because if you use your time foolishly, if you waste your time, you are wasting your life. People are constantly saying, well, listen now, look, if I need to gain control of my life. The only way to gain control of your life is to gain control of your time. It's the only way. Now, I want everybody here, I want you to turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Our greatest resource is our time. Because of that, we need to live with an understanding that our time is just a limited thing. But on top of that, we need to understand that we must use the time we have wisely. Now I want to read three verses, and then we're going to go back and look at what they really mean. Ephesians 5, verse 15, 16, and 17. Now watch this carefully. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You with me? Now let's go back and see what this means. Verse 15. He says, be. In the Greek, that is an imperative. What is an imperative? An imperative is a command. So when Paul says be, Paul says here is a command. Whatever follows be is a command. Paul is not saying, now I'm going to throw out a suggestion here. Paul is not saying, now here's something you might want to think about. This is an imperative. This is a Greek imperative, a command. Now, what is the command? Watch what he says. He says, be very careful how you live. Now notice the expression, very careful. The expression, very careful, is associated with what it means to be very diligent. The expression is closely associated with what it means to be very exact, to take great pain in doing. Now, look at it together. What is the imperative? Paul is saying the imperative. He says, I am commanding you. I am commanding you to be very careful. I am commanding you to be very diligent. He says, I am commanding you to take great pain in how you live. Now, wait a minute. How do you do that? How do you take great pain in how you live? How do I take great diligence in the way that I live? Well, look what he says. He says the way you do that is by making the most of your opportunities, or making the most of your time. And that expression, verse 16, making the most of every opportunity, in the Greek, it's the idea of buying up opportunity for yourself. What does that mean? What that means is you have to be very careful about how you use every moment of your time. Now let me add one more thing to it to get at what he's getting at. Paul says, I command you. I command you. You take great diligence. You take great pain and care on how you live your life. The reason for that is because so that you can make the most out of every opportunity you have. Now, the incentive for all of it is at the end of verse 16, he says, because the days are evil. So you take great pain in how you use every moment because the days are evil. So you understand what he says? He says time is limited. He says opportunities to do good are present, but evil abounds. Your greatest resource is your time. It's not your car, it's not your house, it is your time and the choice that you make about how you're going to spend up your time. And as you're deciding, here's what you need to remember. You need to remember that life is short at best. You need to remember you need to use that time wisely, because when you waste the time God gives you, you're wasting the life that God gave you, and that is a sin. Number three, one more thing. Your greatest resource is time. But life is short. Use your time wisely. But now number three, and this is very important. How do we use our time wisely? How can I use wisely the greatest resource that God has given to me? How do I do this? How do I make the most of every moment? How do I do it? I want you to look at me one more verse. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just one more verse, Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Brethren, listen to me now. Listen to me. Here it is. The way we make the most of our time, the way that we take our greatest resource and use it carefully is by getting our priorities straight. If you and I will get our priorities straight, then we will have the time to do everything that we need to get done that is important. And as you decide your priorities, as you get your priorities straight so that you can make the most of every moment of the greatest resource that God has given you, your time, you need to remember two things. Only two things are going to last. All this world, only two things will last. Number one, the Word of God will last. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 25, Peter said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the Word of the Lord will stand forever. When you involve yourself in the Word of God, you are involving yourself in something that is eternal. When you decide to get your priorities straight, and when you decide what your priorities ought to be, you need to remember two things last. Number one, the Word of God lasts. And the second thing, the only other thing that lasts, are people. People. Jesus said in Matthew 25 at the judgment scene, beginning with verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. The sheep He'll place on His right hand, the goats He will place on His left hand. When that judgment happens, some of them will go, Jesus said, into everlasting life, and others will go into everlasting punishment. Brethren, listen to me. Everybody lasts. Some will last eternally with God. And some will last eternally with Satan. But we're all going to last. So when you're deciding what your priorities ought to be, you need to remember that only this book and people last. And those two things is what we ought to be investing our time in. So I ask you, how are you going to use your time this year? It's the greatest resource that God has given you. How are you going to use it? Are you going to use it? Are you going to buy up your time on things that don't matter? Or are you going to buy up and use every moment on those things that will last? Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know what that verse teaches? That verse teaches that the way you use your time could very well cost you your soul. The way you use your time could cost you your soul. Your greatest resource is your time. How are you going to use that time? On things that matter or things that don't? On things that are eternal, on things that are temporal? And what you give your time to in 2014 is what you're giving your life to. This afternoon, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. Believing in Jesus Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight, you're away from God, you need to come back. You need to come back. The prodigal came back home and he said, I have sinned. And if that's what you've done, that's what you need to do. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're here, if you need to respond, you can come forward quickly right now as together we stand and as we sing.